Yes, good morning all. It is Tuesday, October 4, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you wherever and however you are listening. Hope you enjoyed the long weekend, and certainly Penrith fans did as they bask in the triumph of the club's fourth premiership, 91-2003 last year, and now 2022, 28-12 against Parramatta. It was 18-0 inside half an hour. At half time, and then it was 28-0 with less than 5 minutes to go before a couple of late para tries added some respectability to the scoreline. But all honours with the Panthers, who were just absolutely superb. Dylan Edwards, the Clive Churchill medal. We'll break it down throughout the morning. Loz and Pup, a very good morning to you both. How are you, Lozza?
Yeah, morning, boys. Wonderful performance from Penrith, over Parramatta. I thought they were terrific. The game was over pretty early. They just had all the running, didn't allow Parramatta into the contest whatsoever. 18-0 down at halftime. You're always going to struggle to come back from that in a grand final. So well done to Penrith going back-to-back. And look, I know they're losing a couple of players next year, but the production line out there with the Panthers is happening. They've won a lot of junior grades. They've got terrific depth, which will hold them in good stead for years to come. Parramatta, well done on making the grand final. I thought it might have been a tighter contest, but they were just completely outplayed by the most dominant team we've seen for a long while.
Morning, Pup.
Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. My God, talk about primed and ready. Penrith were just class above. I know Parra's copped a bit of stick about not being able to, you know, play their best footy in the grand final, but I think Penrith were just too good. And it was like they saved their best for the GF. Walked out there full of confidence, ready to go, and the game was over in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was. They just completely dominated possession. At one stage there, I think it was 65-35 or 70-30 or whatever it was in terms of possession, and it was where they were getting the ball to. They just continually wore Parramatta down. It just sucks so much energy out of Parramatta defensively, even, you know, with their big fellas. And when they had the ball, they just didn't have enough effort in them to even create some offloads. They were getting dominated at the ruck. They were getting stuck in their own half. It was difficult to get any field position at all. And they just attacked the game. They went after it. Penrith, they came away as victors and thoroughly deserved it. It was one of the most dominant halves of footy I've seen this year, yeah, not only in a big grand final, but this year.
It was exactly that, Loz. You'd have to think, as far as performances in grand final history are concerned, that first half was close to perfect.
Yep, they didn't do much wrong. They didn't do much wrong in that first 40 minutes. They were outstanding. And, you know, they were up. They were ready to go. They were full of energy. They started well. Parramatta just couldn't get into the game. And it was a ruthless performance from Penrith. And that's what you want to see from a team who has been in two grand finals, the two previous grand finals. They'd won one, they'd lost one. They knew the feeling, and they weren't going to win that. You just got the sense right from the get-go, right from that opening 10-minute period, that it was going to take something special for Parramatta to win because the Panthers were on.
They tried some things, Parra. Like, I think it was the first tackle kick at one point. So they did some things out of the box, which you said, you know, they got to do.
I didn't mind that. I didn't mind that. Execution could have been a bit better. And timing of the game in terms of when and how and all that type of stuff could have been a little bit better. But that's nitpicking. And take nothing away from Penrith, though. They were just too good. They were too good. And Parramatta, great job getting there. But unfortunately, they saved possibly their worst for their last.
Pat, we spoke about Dylan Edwards last week. Outstanding performance. Worthy Clive Churchill medalist. I think no one can criticise that decision.
Nah, no way. I think he's... What an amazing year. And then tops it off. Again, I said it last week, I feel like he has just found his place in this team as well. He complements his team perfectly. Excuse me. And he just runs off, you know, the players that he knows so well. So, yeah, they've been consistent. I think that's the one thing they... You know, I know there's been a bit of criticism about the carry-on afterwards, but they have to be the best Penrith team ever, don't they, Loz?
Oh, it's pretty hard to disagree with it. But again, you know, their last 3 years have been excellent.
Phenomenal.
But it's also about what their playing group does into the future as well and solidify their legacy. You know, they've been outstanding for the last, you know, 3 years.
Yeah. What's your take on all the stuff that's happened off the field? post their win.
Look, you'd prefer not to see it. It does come across as arrogant.
Yeah.
It does come across as you're giving no respect to the opposition.
Mm. Is a lot of this, because it's been hard to sort of understand, like they were singing Sweet Caroline. Was that taking the mickey out of Mitchell Pearce and...
Mitchell Moses, sorry.
Oh, mate, I would never clue.
Yeah, it seems like Paul Kent hit him really hard on Fox. But you also, when you've, you know, won major trophies and drank too much and partied and had a good time, just seems like this, everything they're doing, there's a camera on them.
Yeah.
So it's being, stared at.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly right. And look, I'm sure they would, if they had their time over again, some of them, that would look at what they've said and gone, oh, geez, I probably should have shared that in that environment.
Mm.
That would have quite possibly been for an environment inside the dressing sheds where no one else could get access to it. But, you know, they live and die by what they say these days. They want to post everything. It does get them in trouble, get themselves in trouble. Mm. But they've got to live with it. And if they're happy to come out and say those type of things, create the rivalry, and they don't care what anyone else says, that's up to them. But I think that most people would think that, you know, Penrith in celebrations, players haven't had any sleep. Mm. They've celebrated long and hard, which they're entitled to do. Should they have said what they said? No.
Mm.
You know, possibly if you're going to say those type of things, say it in the confines of your dressing shed where only you and your teammates can hear it and have a bit of a laugh about it in there. Or a discussion, if you feel it's a real serious discussion you want to have. But I think out in the open, I don't think you should be saying those type of things and being disrespectful at times to your opponent.
Quite a lot of those players won't be celebrating for too long, though, Loz. Even the Penrith players, are they heading with the rest of the Kangaroos squad? I think it's Thursday.
Yeah, I think they leave on Thursday.
Wow, over for a World Cup.
I think they go to camp on Wednesday.
Mm.
Yeah, I think the staff go in today, players in tomorrow, or some of the players will come in tonight, and then possibly have one training session before they jump on the plane. But I wouldn't expect the Penrith or the Parramatta boys to be training.
A squad of 24 that was named yesterday. I could imagine how spirited it was debating and coming up with this squad, Loz. But you can't pick them all. And, you know, we are the strongest rugby league nation on the planet, theoretically, and we deserved favourites, although some of these squads, particularly the New Zealand squad also announced yesterday, looks particularly strong. But no place for the Clive Churchill medalist Dylan Edwards, also the Dally M medalist Nicho Hynes. So tell us a bit about the difficulties, I guess, in picking the squad.
Well, the big one, I suppose, is Dylan Edwards, given the performance he's had this season. And the last couple of games, he's been terrific and capped it off with the Clive Churchill medal on Sunday night. Versatility obviously played against him. You've got James Tedesco, who's the captain of the Kangaroos side. He's going to be your number one fullback. And then if you get injuries on tour, you've got guys like Latrell Mitchell and Cam Munster who can go back and play fullback. So I think versatility cost Dylan. The fact that we didn't believe we could move and put him into another position if needed. And you only have 24 players and there's special circumstances. So we've named three other guys and Dylan is one of those guys. But you've got to have some special circumstances for those guys to come into the squad. And that could be COVID. Or it could be you're out of players in a certain position. Dylan Edwards, the fact that he can't sort of play a number of positions has worked against him. Possibly with Nicho Hynes, it came down to him and sort of Benny Hunt as that utility. And Ben Hunt, you know, plays as a halfback. He can play as a 9, and he can also play as a 13. We've seen him do that in Origin as well. So, unfortunately for Nicho, he missed out as well.
I've got to say, though, I reckon one of the performances of the weekend that should not be glossed over was Lauren Jackson, who at age 41, in her final game for Australia, scored 30 points and ensured that Australia secured bronze at the World Cup. They beat Canada 95-65 after a heartbreaking loss to China on Friday night. They lost by 2 points. But Lauren Jackson just thought one more time, less than 24 hours after that heartbreaking defeat, I'm just going to turn it on at age 41 and just dominate it. Phenomenal. And was carried off the court. That was some of the great scenes of the weekend too, as far as Australian sports concerned. It was awesome.
Oh, great comeback by Lauren Jackson. She's one of our greatest sports women, sports persons. And she's had an outstanding career. And to do what she's done, you know, being retired and then come back on the biggest stage and deliver the way she did was pretty special. Talking about basketball, did you see the Adelaide 36ers?
Yeah.
What they were able to do over the weekend. I know it's only a trial game, so to speak. But to beat the Phoenix Suns, who did start with a lot of their superstars, I mean, their salary cap compared to the 36ers' salary cap is massive. I think it's, what, close to $300 million or something in it, compared to under $2 million. So that's an amazing effort from the 36ers.
Yeah, they did. They
some of their guys shot extremely well.
Mm. We got Brad Rosen on later this morning. So, yeah, they beat them 134 to 124. Don't think the Suns were playing defense in their first preseason match, but the Sixers turned it on. And front page of the Daily Telegraph, Panther Zone, Top Guns, Maverick movie, magic inspires Penrith's NRL glory. So they've had this top secret mission inspired by the Top Gun sequel. There's a picture of Nathan Cleary, Iceman, and with his, what, navy cap on and... Your son, have you seen it yet, Loz?
I've seen the sequel. Yes. Brilliant. Finally seen it and thoroughly enjoyed it. But no, it's good. I mean, most teams have themes going through the seasons or themes in a semi-final. And I think they went to a mid-season camp where they went and watched it as a group, the movie. And then they decided that was going to be their sort of theme for the rest of the season. And it's worked well. They've timed their run to perfection. Cleary was class on the night. He guided them around the paddock. I thought Fisher Harris and Leota up front were outstanding.
About Leota early.
Oh, geez, tough. Spencer Linu coming off the interchange bench. They just had so many dominant players on the night. Brian Toa, geez, what a performance from him from a winger.
Yeah.
You know, he and Dylan Edwards for mine were the two best players on the field. The amount of work they got through. And we all know what was coming. We all know that's what Penrith like to do in the backfield is get their back five involved. But those two in particular, they just kept coming and coming and coming. Got them out of trouble. I think Toa scored a couple of tries or scored a try. And Dylan Edwards was just constantly in the game.
Back page of the telly, sunburn. Eels greats bristle over taunts from Happy Perth. Panthers, spoke about it before, probably a couple of players who would love a couple of moments back. James Fisher-Harris, what did he say? He said, Para are our sons, and then we had a We Hate Para chant the fan day yesterday. I'll tell you one thing, though. Next year when these two teams play each other, what do you think we're going to be wheeling out all that week again?
They're going to play each other twice.
Was there beef before the game? I didn't think these two teams hated each other this much.
Yeah, like, I think it's just great rivalry.
It's fan-induced a lot, this.
The Battle of the West, you know. We're more West than what you are.
What about Appy Coruscant when he walks into the Tigers after, sort of scoffing at the Tigers, having a bit of a laugh about his chances there of winning a ring, a premiership ring?
It's a bit like I said before. I mean, it didn't need to be said. If you're going to say that, Appy, do it inside the dressing sheds where no one else is going to sort of see it, only other than your teammates, and have a bit of a laugh about it. Look, you know what? I don't take offence to that. If you're a Tiger supporter, you might. Mm. But me, sitting here now, I think I could take that as him just mucking around. And he's a professional. Once he gets to the Tigers, he'll switch on and he'll rip in. And he's a wholehearted player, Appy Coruscant. You know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get from him. But if you're a Tiger supporter, it's just not a good look if you've got a player coming to your club and he's laughing and scoffing. But we had similar with, not similar, but, you know, I think Brandon Smith got in trouble there when he did a interview podcast with signing for the Roosters and how much he wanted to win a comp for the Roosters.
It didn't mean he went back and didn't try with the Melbourne Storm.
He went back. But again, it's just not a good look.
Now, back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, he could hardly walk, he was very sick, and in the interview here, Penn Gilly and Michael Chemis, I think they've spoken with Ivan Cleary's wife, and she went into detail about how crook he was, during the year when he had an infection, didn't he? And was basically bedridden, couldn't get off the couch for a period of time. So that sounded pretty nasty because he looks like a very fit man, Ivan Cleary, but up off the canvas himself to coach the side throughout the season.
Yeah, well, he's had some health issues, hasn't he, Ivan? So hopefully, you know, he can get a bit of a rest now and get himself back in some, you know, good physical condition. But what he's been able to do out there with Penrith has been unbelievable. And we not only talk about the first grade squad, but, you know, the pathway system that they've been able to set up and create. A lot of people involved in doing that. It's taken some time to get right. But now that they've got it right, you can just see them having success there for a number of years to come.
Also back page of the Herald, Meninga embraces the pressure of retaining Roos World Cup crown. And that squad, as we mentioned, announced yesterday. Steve on the text line, morning. Heard Mal say Cherry Evans is the starting half for Australia. I would have thought Cleary deserves the spot having won the grand final. Can Laurie offer any thoughts on this? Thanks, Steve. I don't think he out and out said Daly Cherry Evans.
Not in our discussions.
Is the starting halfback. He said he's just the incumbent. Point he's the incumbent. Yeah,
In my discussions with Mal, no, he hasn't indicated that Cherry will be the starting halfback over Nathan Cleary. What I do know is that both those men will get an opportunity in the seven jersey, as will a lot of the players. They'll all play. Mal's got an eye on giving a lot of these players opportunities, at least one or two games, and he's going to then look forward to that quarter final where he will then look to pick his best team.
And on the back page of the Australian, Kangaroos reward eludes Dylan. And we've mentioned it before, Dylan Edwards couldn't crack that Kangaroos squad, and his lack of versatility, I guess, working against him in that squad of 24. But James Tedesco to captain the side. So that is one change, because Daly Cherry Evans was the incumbent captain, wasn't he? I think he was.
Well, Daly was the incumbent seven, and I know that he possibly was the captain. I'm unsure. I know they've changed the captaincy with James Tedesco, but it was 3 years ago, I think, the last time they played. So off the top of my head, I think it was Daly. But I know that James is, you know, established himself as the number one leader in the game. His performance for the Roosters has been outstanding, as they have been for New South Wales. And, you know, with James, you know he's going to be in the team with Teddy. You know, with Daly, if you named him as captain, you'd be unsure of whether he was going to make the starting side. So, I'm sure that's a reason why Mal probably look to change that as well.
Here's one for you, Loz. Liam Martin gets in. I guess he was in a battle with Sean Lane. Did the grand final performance seal that selection for Liam Martin? Because were they neck and neck pretty much heading into that grand final? Because he was superb, Liam Martin.
Yeah, Liam Martin had a really good year, as did Sean Lane at the back end of the year. I thought he was terrific. Mm. But I think that, you know, Liam Martin, the fact that he can play as a middle as well, worked in his favour. And I think I said earlier this morning about if you can be versatile when you go on a tour, it certainly helps your cause. Because you've only got 24 players. And to get an extra player into the squad while you're over there, there's got to be special circumstances. So, you know, if you've run out of players in specialised positions or COVID or something like that. So the fact that Liam Martin can play as an edge back rower, can play either side, or he can play through the middle, that helped in his favour over Sean Lane.
One of our listeners saying, no, Boyd was captain, not DCE, Boyd Cordner. Is he still there in 2019? Anyway, James Tedesco's captain now. Mm. And the joint vice captains are Cameron Murray and Isaiah Yeo for that squad that heads to the UK on Thursday. It's about to tick over 6 o'clock. Give us a call, 13 53 53. Not doing heroes and villains today, but give us a call regardless. Let us know what you thought of the GF. 0419 767 272. Also, what you think of the Kangaroo squad and our chances heading towards the World Cup in the UK as they head over there in a couple of days' time.